Let's make a start. I assume everybody can see me and everybody can hear me. I haven't got any ability to control the internet. I haven't got the ability to control very much at all. But if it goes in and out every now and then, there's, I'm afraid, nothing that I can do. We're a little bit subject to the vagaries of Zoom and the general bandwidth that we have. But in Yet Hashem, we should be good. And hopefully you'll see. Now, you do have, at the bottom of your screen, you have a little button that says reactions. You could always give me, every now and then, if I ask for a thumbs up, like I just did now on my screen. But fortunately, there is no thumbs down function on Zoom. So if you're not happy, then I won't know about that. But that's okay, too. Also, as I said, I'm going to keep everybody muted for now so that everybody can hear me rather than talk over each other. There is a chat facility on the site as well that you can press that chat button if you have something urgent to say, but hopefully we won't need to do that too much. Okay, fine. So I hope everybody is having a sane time. It is a little bit of an insane time, generally speaking, and everything is changing on a daily basis, but this ability for us to connect with each other like this today is really a metzia. It's a bracha that we can do this. It's certainly a chizuk for me to be able to connect with you here. I hope the people are keeping well. I hope the people are keeping positive. If there is nice news as part of the whole news that we hear. A few people that I know who were sick from the virus, from the shear, have recovered and are doing very well now, Baruch Hashem. So hopefully we will all stay well and stay sane. What I want to do is talk to you today and next week. Next week we have another shear scheduled in, and then already it'll be Pesach. I've been dealing with three topics last week, this week, and next week that really pick out certain key themes of the Seder night. Today is much more halachic. Next week is much more hashkafic. We try to keep that balance. Last week we talked about the fifth cup and whether there are really four cups or really five cups and the status of the fifth cup, which is really fascinating. And hopefully you, if you didn't get that, by the way, I have a recording of it. Please just get in touch with me or get in touch with the OU. And you can pick up the recording of last week's share without any problem. This week I want to talk about the issue of wine and the symbolism of wine and grape juice and the kind of wine that one must use and one must not use, etc. And try and get to grips with that a little bit. It'll be quite intense, a lot of halakhic sources. I don't know if you've got a chance to get the source sheet, but I have worked out a way now to bring it up on the screen. So I will do that in just a minute. Next week, just a little bit of advance notice, I want to talk about charoses. Now, we've never talked about charoses before, and you might ask, what's there to say about charoses? And the answer is, there's a ton to say about charoses, apart from the fact that everybody loves eating charoses, and probably eats too much of it as part of the mitzvah. There is a ton to say about charoses. We'll talk about that in Yetz Hashem next week. And just to remind you that in past years, we've covered a lot of topics in our pre-Pesach Shiurim. We've looked, for example, at kitniot in depth. We've looked at gebracht. We looked at the issue of women and leaning. We've looked at the size of a kazayit. We've looked at oat matzah and celiac issues. All of these things are on my website, and you should be able to get them from the OU as well. So if you want to catch up on any of the previous stuff, that's all available for you. But for today, I'd like to look at the issue of wine. I'm going to try and do something a little bit fancy on the screen and bring something up. And see if you guys can see that. Okay, hopefully you can see that. You can all see that. Let me move this over here. Can people see something on their screen, like a source sheet, maybe? Yes, good, nodding, excellent. So every now and then, I'm going to come in and out of that source sheet. Let me just turn off that thing that's going bong on my screen. That's because you don't want that. Every now and then, I'm going to come in and out of the source sheet so that we can see each other and you can see the source sheets too. I want to cover a lot of topics. We have about 50 minutes. Let's start from the fundamental question as to who. Who has to drink wine at the Seder night? There's a lot of wine sloshing around, and there's always some point at the Seder where somebody turns around and says, oh my goodness, I can't drink anymore at this time of night. Don't give me any more wine. Just give me a little drop, something like that. Let's have a look at the halacha and see who has to drink what at Seder night. So first of all, let's look at Kiddush, because everything really stems from the issue of Kiddush. Let's look at the first Gemara here in number one. Amar Rav Ada bar Ava, Nashim Chayavos B'Kiddush Hayom Dvar Torah. So the first thing the Gemara says here is that women are obligated on a Torah level to make Kiddush. So the Gemara says, am I? What? Why? Mitzvah Aseh Sheh Zman Gramahu. Isn't it a positive time bound mitzvah which women are normally exempted from? B'chol Mitzvah Aseh Sheh Zman Gramahu Nashim Peturais. Women are surely exempted. Women should not have to make Kiddush, and we'll see by extension, should not have to drink the full cups, in theory. Amar Abaya, Abaya suggests, no, Midrabbanan. Maybe there's a rabbinic obligation on women to do all the positive Torah mitzvahs that they're really exempted from on a Torah level. So maybe women have a rabbinic obligation to sit in the sukkah and to shake a lulav, etc. The Gemara rejects that. Amalei Rava, Rava responded to him, source one in the second line, V'hadvar Torah ka'ama. Didn't it say in the source that there's a Torah obligation on women to make Kiddush? V'oid, and not, and further, Kol mitzvahs atzei nitchayven midrabbanan. Are you going to say that women have rabbinic obligations now to do all the things that they were exempted from? No, no one ever heard of that. Since when does a woman have a rabbinic obligation to shake a lulav? Says the Gemara, Ella, I'm a Rava, I'm a Kras, Zohar v'Shomor. The Pasuk says Zohar and Shomor, the negatives and the positives. Shomor is the negatives, the Zohar is the positives of the laws of Shabbat. Kol sheyeshna b'shmira, yeshna b'zechira. Anyone who is included in the negatives, women are included in all the negative mitzvahs of Shabbat, not to do malacha, etc. Yeshna b'zechira, they're included in all the positives. The harinashi, so too women, hoyo v'yeshna b'shmira, yeshna b'zechira. So women are also included in the mitzvah on a Torah level to make Kiddush, which is interesting. Not everybody is necessarily aware of this, but men and women are on exactly the same halachic level when it comes to making Kiddush. If you come to my Shabbat table, I can make Kiddush for you, you can make Kiddush for me, a man for a woman for a man. There is no reason halachically why that's a problem. Havdalah, that's a different question. Havdalah, there is a problem, but Kiddush, there is no problem. In fact, there is a question as to if the man goes to shul, which the halavai will be able to go to shul soon, if a man goes to shul actually davens ma'ariv and makes kiddush in the tefillah itself, one of the things we say in the tefillah is, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbat, if the woman is at home and has not davened ma'ariv, how is the man even allowed to make kiddush for the woman? Okay, we just got disconnected for a second there. I hope that we're still connected now. Hopefully we are. You can still see me and hear me?
Do you hear anything?
I don't hear anything.
Okay, fine. Can you hear me now? We got disconnected for just a second.
Yes, now we do.
Okay, excellent. Very good. Very, very good. Okay, just one second. Let me just do this. Sorry, I have to now be a computer technician at the same time as give a shit. Okay. Okay, I think we're back in business. Fine. Can you still see the sheet? Probably not. So let's put that back on the screen. Now you can see the sheet, right? Good. Very good. Okay, fine. When it comes to the four cups of wine on Seder night, there's a slightly different dynamic going on. Okay, you can still see me and hear me. Something else just went strange on my computer. Hopefully you can still hear me. If you'll tell me if you can't.
Can't see you.
You can't see me.
Can hear you but not see you.
Right, okay. So let's see what's happening now. One second. Sorry about that. All right, one second. Let's just try something, one second. Sorry about this. Right, now you can see me. Now you can see me and hear me. Yes, excellent. Okay, sorry about that. We will continue. The computer's just doing its own merry thing. And sometimes I'm not always in control of it entirely. Fine. Let's carry on. When it comes to the four cups, there is a different dynamic. Look at number two, please. The Amar of Yeshua ben Levi, Noshim Chayavas Ba'arba Koytis Halalu, apart from the general mitzvah that women have on a Torah level to be involved in Kiddush, okay, there is a mitzvah on women to drink from the four cups. Why? She'af Heim Hayu Ba'osa Hanes, because they were included in the nace itself. They were included in the miracle that the cups come to represent. And there's a quite well-known but very interesting machlokas between Rashbam on the one hand and Tosfos on the other. What does it mean that women were included in the miracle? Look at source number three. Women were in the miracle. Because he quotes, it was in the merit of the women, and we're going to talk more about this next week when the charoses comes in, because charoses is not just a symbol of slavery, it's a symbol of the women's rebirth, if you like, the helping Klal Yisrael to continue and to be reborn and to keep its positivity. That's the merit that we were able to be redeemed from Egypt, and therefore, of course, women are included in the four cups. They brought about the name. V'chein gali mikra Megillah, so too with Megillah, amahachin nishum da'alidei Esther hava. It was Esther that did it. V'chein gali Chanukah, and so too for Chanukah it was Yehudit that did it. So Rashbam understands that women are included because they, they precipitated the nace, they created the nace in by their merit. Whereas Tosfos says, no, that's not what it means in number four. Perish Rashbam sha'al yadam, the al yadam nigalu. Rashbam said that it was the women that brought about the nace. Tosfos doesn't agree with this. He quotes the Rashbam and says, "Okay, Megillah, al yadei Esther, v'chanukah, al yadei Yehudit." V'kasha, that's a difficult way to look at it. Da'af, when it says, "Af heim hayu ba'osa ha'neis," they also in the nace. Mashma de'enich ikka, it means that they weren't the main thing that brought the nace, but they were included. Vaidvi Yerushalmi Goris, and the version in the Yerushalmi is the Afheim Hayu Ba'osa Sopik. The women were included no less than the men in the problems of Mitzrayim. Mashma Ba'osa Sakana La'Hashmid La'Rok La'Bet. And therefore Tosfos understands that women are obligated to drink the four cups, not because they initiated the nace, but they were included in the nace. Whichever way it is, it's very clear in Halacha that women and men have an identical obligation to drink all four cups on Seder night. And therefore, one must be, careful as to how one works out the kind of wine that one has, the kind of size of the cups one drinks, to make sure that everybody is able to drink from the four cups, which are extremely symbolic, and we'll see soon how that comes in as well. Okay, let's talk a little bit now on which wine is kosher for the four cups. Let's talk about color, we'll talk about grape juice, we'll talk about all sorts of things, and you'll see some interesting ideas coming in. First of all, let's talk about Kiddush. Look at number five, please. Amamar Zutra. The Gemara in Bava Basra says the following. Amamar Zutra. Baratuvia. Amar Rav. In the name of Rav. Ein Omrim Kiddush Hayom Ela Ala Yain Aruli Nasech Al Gabi Amizbeach. This is a fascinating initial line. The only wine which is kosher for Kiddush is wine which you could have poured in the Nisuch Hayayin, on the Mizbeach. Meaning, we don't often realize this, but every time we lift up a cup of wine for Kiddush, a cup of wine for the four cups, for the appetizers, we are at the same time alluding to, bringing in the idea of the wine that was used in the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. And this is something to think about. When you lift your cup of wine, the wine has to have the same qualities as the Nisuch HaYayin that was poured on the Mizbeach. There are a couple of other things, by the way, I'll mention just in parentheses. One of the minhagim and the halachas of Seder night is washing for karpas, urchas. Why do we wash for karpas? So we wash for karpas, we actually did a whole shir about this a couple of years ago. We wash for karpas because we're going to dip the karpas in liquid. And anything which is dipped in liquid has a din of nitilas yadayim because of the laws of tumah and tara, because water will take the tumah from the hands and transfer it to the food, etc., etc. So we wash for dipping the karpas. So a number of the Meforshim ask, well, hang on a minute. People don't wash the rest of the year. If you want to dunk your biscuits, your cookies in your coffee, do you do Netilas Yadayim first? Should you? Well, by the way, maybe you should. Because there are halachas, the Shulchan Aruch actually rules that even the whole year round, even though people don't normally do this, even the whole year round, there's a halacha of Netilas Yadayim for Tibuli B'mashka. Every time you dip, in one of the classic liquids, meaning wine, milk, fondue would be included in this, olive oil, water, there's a din in the tilas yadayim first. So maybe you do want to wash before you dip your cookies in your tea. But most people don't. So why do we do it on Seder night? So the Nitziv says, again, because on Seder night we're very much connected. Back 2,000 years, Seder night is one of the oldest rituals that any religion does. Going back thousands and thousands of years, we're connected very much to the Mikdash. And therefore, Karpas, the dipping and the washing of the dipping for the Karpas, is Mikdash related to. So here too, the wine for Kiddush has to be the same as the wine that could be poured in the Mikdash. Now, what does that exclude? Look with me on source number five. Lemiyuti mai. What does that exclude? Ilei lemiyuti yai megito. Maybe that excludes wine from your wine press, straight from the wine press, i.e. grape juice. Maybe grape juice is not valid. Says no. The Hatani Rabchia told yai megito lo yavi. You shouldn't use grape juice for the mizbeach. The imhevi kasha. But if you did, it's okay. The cave under imhevi kasha. And since it's okay on a b'dievid level, even for the mizbeach, anu afilu lechatchila nami. We can use it for kiddush even ideally. So it seems that grape juice is in. To Amar Rava, because Rava said, Soichet Adam Eshkol Shel Anavim, you can go into a grapevine, take a bunch of grapes, squeeze the grapes, you should obviously take Trumas and Maestras in Eretz Israel, squeeze the grapes into a cup, V'ayna Alav Kiddush Hayom, and then you can say Kiddush on grape juice, straight from a bunch of grapes, straight into your cup. So grape juice, it seems, is fine, but we'll see, our grape juice may not be. Elam Yutzei, surely it comes to exclude other kinds of wine. Yain Kushi, very, very dark black wine. Borek, which is white wine. Apparently white wine is a problem. Really? We'll see. Hiliston, which is very sweet wine. Shel Maratek, or wine which comes straight from the cellar. Shel Samukim, or wine which is made from raisins. Ah, the Hataniya Bekulon Lo Yavi Ve'im Hevi Kosher. But again, with all of these wines, the Gemara says, they're not ideal, but they do work. B'di'eved. So in the end, it says, you're right, all of these wines are basically fine for Kiddush. Red wine, white wine, grape juice, it's all fine. Elamiyuti line koses, wine which is going sour is no good. Mozog, wine which is diluted is no good. We'll see, can you put water in your wine? Not so straightforward. Megula, wine which has been left open, not getting into all that now. Shel Shmarim, wine which is made from the dregs at the bottom, the lees at the bottom of the wine. Sherecho ra, or even wine which has a bad smell. The tanyu kula lo yavi, these you can't use. The imhevi potel, they don't work on the mizbeach at all. They don't work for Kiddush. Ah, what about white wine specifically? Barminei Rav Kahana, Chamur de Rav Mesharshi mi Rabba. So Rav Kahana asks, Chama Chavarian, what about pure white wine? Can you use white wine for Kiddush? So Mahu, what is the halacha? Amalei, so he said to him, you can, but Al Teire Yain Ki Yitadam. This is an interesting pasuk in Mishlei. Mishlei is saying, don't get too drunk on wine, especially on red wine, because red wine is the real wine. So it seems that white wine is less than ideal, but it's kosher b'dieved. We'll see how that translates into the halacha right now. So what have we said? Let's just summarize. Let's just work out what we've said. We've said that it sounds from the Gemara that for Kiddush at least, lots of wines are kosher. Grape juice sounds fine. White wine sounds fine. But, you know, maybe they're not lechatchila for the mizbeach, but they seem to be fine for Kiddush. Let's see what the Rambam says. Number 7. Look with me if you can see in the Rambam in number 7. He brings this halacha and says that wine for Kiddush has to be wine that you could have brought on Mizbeach. Lefikach, therefore, he brings an interesting analysis. In this ari void vash, if you mix sugar or honey into it, or so'or, afilu ketipat charadel b'chavit gedolah, even if you put a tiny bit of sweetness sugar into a whole barrel of wine, ein mekanshin alav, it's not good for Kiddush. The Rambam says sweet wine is possible for Kiddush. It's interesting because I don't know about you, but I grew up on Seder night. Seder night in England was Palwin. Palwin wine was what was used for Seder. I'm sure in America you're probably using Kedem or Manischewitz. They don't come any sweeter than that. No one who used dry red wine for Kiddush. No one used that. The Rambam says, sorry, sweet wine is not kosher for Kiddush. And that's how we paskin in all of North Africa. That is our step. Okay, there are people who allow sweet wine for Kiddush. The only wine which is really invalid is bad smelling wine. Okay, there is a yeshamrim that sweet wine might be okay. And the Riva comes and says, we do use sweet wine, that's okay. The Shulchan Aruch, in the end, rules that basically all of these wines are fine. And we'll get to the four cups in just a minute. But basically the Shulchan Aruch rules as follows. Number 8. Yayin Megito Mekadshim Alav. You can use grape juice for Kiddush. Soichet Adam Eshkol Shel Anavim Ve'Oimer Alav Kiddush Hayom. You can squeeze grapes into a cup. You can make Kiddush. And so too, Dalet. Mekadshim Al Yayin Lavan. You can use white wine for Kiddush. Now, HaRamban, but the Ramban, Poslo de Kiddush Afilu B'Dieved. He says you may not use white wine for Kiddush, even B'Dieved. White wine is totally invalid for Kiddush. Aval Mavdin Alav, you can use white wine for Havdalah. Uminaga oilam kisfar rishona, but the Shulchan Aruch rules, the minag is that we do use white wine for Kiddush. What about yain mevushel? cooked wine. We haven't really spoken about this. So makachin chet, makachin al yain mevushel v'al yain sheyesh bo dvash. We are prepared to make kiddush on cooked wine or sweet wine. But there is an opinion we saw in the Rambam that you shouldn't really use sweet wine or cooked wine or mevushel wine for kiddush. Okay, the minag is, says the Ramah, that we do use mevushel wine and we do use white wine. As long as we don't have another wine in the house which is as good as the mevushel wine or better. Meaning if you have a superior wine, you shouldn't use the mevushel wine. Now, what does that mean, lemaisa? So, we're going to get to grape juice in a minute specifically, but in terms of the preference in the halacha for the kind of wine you should be using for kiddush, the ideal seems to be dry red wine. Okay, dry red wine is the ideal. White wine is okay, la halacha. We pass him that it's okay. Sweet wine is okay, la halacha. Mevushel wine, he says, the Mishnah Berurah says, is only okay if you don't have something which is better than that. If you don't have anything better, you can use the mevushel wine, but ideally you shouldn't use the mevushel wine. Now, mevushel wine has, of course, another advantage, which is if there are non-Jewish people who are pouring it, then mevushel wine is okay, whereas non-mevushel wine is not. So that's another reason why many of the, certainly in Chutz La'aretz, most of the wines that I remember, you know, as a child were tended to be mevushel wines, not non-mevushel wines. In Israel, you can get now superior wines. There is a separate question, by the way, as to whether you're allowed to have a non-Jew at a Yom Tov meal. That is something that is not related to this exactly. But there is a halacha in the Shulchan Aruch that a person is allowed 100% to have a non-Jewish guest at a Shabbos meal. No problem at all. But you're not allowed to have a non-Jewish guest, says the Shulchan Aruch, at a Yom Tov meal. Why not? What's the problem having a non-Jewish guest at a Yom Tov meal? Some people think it's you're not allowed to have a non-Jewish guest at a Seder. That's actually not the case. A Seder is no different from any Yom Tov meal. You're not allowed to have a non-Jewish guest at any Yom Tov meal. Why not? The problem is, because the halacha is, you might cook, you might add to the food. On Shabbos, you're not going to cook, because nobody cooks on Shabbos. You're not allowed to. But on Yom Tov, you might add to the food and cook for this non-Jewish person, and that would be a breach of Yom Tov on a Torah level. You're not allowed to cook for a non-Jew on Yom Tov, and therefore you may not, on a rabbinic level, have a non-Jew at the table in case one comes to cook for that non-Jew. That's brought down in Halacha and Shulchan Aruch. This, of course, raises all sorts of interesting questions. First of all, there are people, not a few people, quite a lot of people, who have non-Jewish relatives, brothers-in-law or this or that or whatever. Are they allowed to be at Yom Tov meals? That's a big shaila. Another question that comes up is, what about people who are in the process of conversion? How are you going to invite somebody who is still non-Jewish, who wants to be at your Yom Tov meal, but can't be there because he's not allowed to be at a Yom Tov meal because he's not Jewish? And there is a whole system, you have to structure that in a certain way in order to have a non-Jew at the Yom Tov meal. You have to ask a shayla. Maybe they have to have their own food, or you have to cook something in advance specifically for them. It's not so straightforward. You can't just ignore it. But as I said, Yain Mevushel will solve some of those problems in that sense as well. So let me come back and talk to you for a second. So where are we holding? We're holding in a situation where we've established that for Kiddush, the ideal is red, the ideal is dry, the ideal is not cooked. But all of the others, basically, b'di'evid, are okay. What about grape juice? What about grape juice? Now, it's important to note that grape juice was not as available back in the day as it is today, by any means. We have a grapevine in our house, Baruch Hashem. It's very fertile in June, July, and August. We pick our grapes in August. And if you squeeze the grapes in August, the grape juice lasts about 3 days. Unless you cook it. If you cook it, then it can last longer. Or you freeze it. We freeze our grape juice. We've got bottles still from last year. But nobody had grape juice at Seder night. Nobody had grape juice in April. There's no such thing. And therefore, no one really asked the Shiloh about grape juice for Seder night because it didn't exist. We'll see that comes in a minute when we talk about specifically grape juice today at Seder night. But grape juice for Kiddush was an option. And the question is, are you allowed to use it? So we said yes. Our problem today is, what is the bracha on grape juice? What is the bracha on our grape juice today? So you're going to say, well, of course it's Brei Pri Hagafen. The answer is why? Why is it Brei Pri Hagafen? So look with me at the sheet and we'll see an interesting shaila that comes up in terms of grape juice itself as something you may or may not have talked about. Have a look with me at source number 10. Why do we make a Brei Pri Hagafen on wine? Look at number 10. It says the Mishnah, Kate said Mevarchem al HaPeiros. What is the bracha on fruit? So, al peiros ha'ilan, on fruit that grows on a tree, which is like a grape, Hu omer, you have to say borei pri ha'etz. You have to say borei pri ha'etz. Chutz min hayayin, apart from wine. Why does wine get a different bracha? She'al hayayin hu omer borei pri ha'yafek. So everybody knows this. Why? Why does wine have its own bracha? Why is wine borei pri agafin and not borei pri ha'etz? So the Gemara asks this in number 11. Chutz min hayayin. My shana yayin, look with me, number 11. Why is wine different from everything else? So it brings a pasuk. Yayin samach levav enosh. Wine makes you happy. V'lechem levav enosh yisad. Bread makes you full. Wine makes you happy, bread makes you full. Okay? So the Gemara says, Namahu desai chamer lo isai. Bread makes you full. Wine doesn't make you full. Wine can actually make you quite full. I remember when I was a lawyer back in the old days, when we used to plan for catering for meetings, for lunches, for clients where there were clients present. Of course, everybody drank wine. It was a thing. Of course, it was non-Jewish clients. It was non-kosher wine. We used to cater on the basis of one bottle of wine per person per meal. Okay, that's if anyone remembers England, that's how England works. Okay, but people drink a lot of wine. They get full on wine. So the Gemara says wine makes you full as well. Ella, rather, chamra is beitarti. Wine has two advantages. Sa'id, it makes you full, umasameach, and it makes you happy. It makes you a little bit happy. Nama, bread, masai sa'id, it makes you full, bread makes you full, but it doesn't make you happy. How happy can you have eating bread? So the Gemara then asks a very interesting question. Ihachi, if wine's so special, navrich alei shalish brachas, maybe you should bench on wine. Maybe you should, when you drink wine, sit down kavu, you drink lots of wine, you should bench. Drink of the mazon after the wine. So the Gemara asks, like how the inish shudaisu alai. People don't fix their meal on wine. So Amalei Rav Nachman, said, well, what if they do? Ikava alai shudaisu mai. What if a person sits down and just drinks wine, has a wine drinking session? Can they bench? Should they bench afterwards? So Amalei, so he responded, the kishiyava Eliyahu, okay, when Eliyahu comes, he'll answer that question. But for now, you're a bit strange if you fix your meal on wine. Most people don't do that, so most people don't have this shaila at all. But we're not 100% sure. And by the way, this comes into the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch as well. This is a halacha I was not aware of, but until I researched this year. But let me show it to you, number 12. What if you
can't hear you? Can't hear you very well. Is there something wrong with your computer again?
Ah, good question. I don't think so.
I can hear fine here.
Okay.
We're all quite clear.
Okay, I think...
I hear you very well.
Okay, excellent, very good. Okay, very good. I think it might just be, you never know whether it's my computer or just the feed coming in. I think at the moment, we're doing okay. Oh, someone came in on the chat. They said, we can see the sheet. Okay, good. That was a little while ago. Good, Baruch Hashem. Fine, let's go back to the sheet and let's have a look here where we're holding on the sheet. So what happens if you bench by mistake? Look in number 12 here. Birkas Shalosh, the bracha of benching, Shalosh. Einu poteris me'ein Shalosh. It doesn't cover you for me'ein Shalosh, for something where you need an alamichya. She'im achol daisa, let's say you eat porridge, let's say you eat oatmeal or pasta. Ein birkas hamazon patarata. Interesting, Shani. You ate a whole bowl of porridge, three bowls of porridge, four bowls of pasta. You're absolutely full. And therefore you benched. Hazai ta'olam kolobu tavol b'chein b'chesli rachnit. Doesn't work. Doesn't work, says the Shulchan Aruch. You've got to, after you benched, you realize you said the wrong thing. You have to make an alamichya. Didn't work. Aval b'yayin. But if you had a lot of wine, birkas hamazon patarata. Birkas gimel patarata. If you benched on wine b'dieved, it worked. Really fascinating. If you benched instead of ala michia, it doesn't work. But if you benched instead of ala gafen,
Then
that's just internet. There's nothing I can do about that. If you lost me, there's nothing I can do about that right now. We'll just have to soldier on. There's no problem in principle, I don't think, with my mic right now. Okay. But if you benched on wine, then you're good. Now, what about grape juice? So based on this, what bracha should you make on grape juice? The reason we make our bakery a goffin on wine is because it fills you up, it makes you happy, it's got a little bit of alcohol in it. So how happy do you get when you drink grape juice? Grape juice is like myths. You don't get happy at all. And therefore, there is a good ground to argue that grape juice shouldn't be brei pri agafen at all. Ah, but it's said that fresh grape juice is. The Gemara said that if you squeeze a bunch of grapes into a glass of wine, you can make brei pri agafen on it. So it is brei pri agafen. That's true. But what about grape juice today? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a tshuva here where he talks about this in number 13. And he says there's a big shaila about grape juice today. I'm not going to read the whole tshuva inside, but let me explain to you what the argument is. There's a whole shaila about grape juice today. First of all, our grape juice has a lot of additives put into it. That's number one. And it's not possible that it'll turn into wine. And Rav Shlomo Zalman says that there is an argument that the only reason that you make a bracha, brei pri agafen, on grape juice is because if you left the grape juice, it would turn into wine. It will ferment into wine. Whereas our grape juice today is stopped from doing that. So maybe our grape juice is shahakol. And by the way, that's how Rav Eliashib paskens. He paskens as shahakol. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, no, okay, since the grape juice started as hagafen, you can keep it as hagafen. That's fine. But once you start diluting it, diluted grape juice, says that you can't have. And diluting grape juice, and by the way, diluting wine is very problematic in halacha. When once you start diluting grape juice and wine, you very quickly downgrade, certainly with grape juice, from brei pri agafen to shehakol. So Rav Shlomo Zalman paskens, and this is the psak of most poskim, that reconstituted grape juice. We don't really have this today, but back in the day when they had this really thick grape juice and they poured wine in it to reconstitute it, that for sure is shehakol. That's no good for kiddush at all. But the grape juice we have today, he said, is, according to him, okay for brei pri agafen. But as I said, there are other poskim that will say shehakol. And I brought you on the sheet, the Star K says there are certain diluting options. The best of all, if you feel you can't drink wine on Seder night, but you don't want to drink grape juice because grape juice is certainly less desirable for Seder night, we'll see why in a minute, best off to mix the wine with the grape juice. Wine and grape juice diluted together is a good option halakhically, but wine and water or grape juice and water is definitely problematic. Okay, fine. There is another shaila, by the way, which I'm not going to get into so much now because I want to get to the full cup straight away. There is a shaila as to whether our grape juice can be used because it's mavushal. Remember I said before the wine which is mavushal, wine which is cooked, is not ideal for kiddush. If there's a superior wine in the house, then maybe you shouldn't be using mavushal. And of course, by definition, all our grape juice is mavushal. Bottom line, most of the poskim say that you can use grape juice for kiddush. It's not a problem. We're not worried so much about the views that say that you can't, even though you need to be aware quite how b'dievet, how sort of less ideal use of grape juice is. Let's get in now to the four cups, because this is meant to be a pre-Pesach share. All of this was by way of, if you like, building up the picture. Let's have a look at the four cups specifically now. If you look here at the sheet that I brought you, you should be able to see the sheet. One second, let me share it with you if you can't see it already. Okay, you should see it now. Look here in source number 17. Red wine or white wine for the four cups? What's preferable? So we saw for Kiddush, red wine is preferable. But white wine is okay. What about the four cups? Look at number 17. Meitzvah. The Gemara asks in Pesachim. Arba kosas halalim. The four cups. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tzarech Yehebo Tam Umare Yain. There's a special halacha. They don't only have to have the taste of wine, a bit of alcohol, but they have to have the look of wine. Amar Rava, my time at the Rebbe Yehuda. What's the special reason for Seder night? It says, Al teri yain ki yitadem. Don't drink too much red wine, because red wine is the real wine. And the Shulchan Aruch actually passes that way. In number 18, mitzvah on Seder night, specifically, mitzvah lachzor achayayin adom. There is even though white wine is okay for Kiddush, we saw, even though that's a debate, it's a mitzvah on Seder night to look for red wine. Says the Ramah, im ein alavam meshubach mimenu. But if you have a superior white, then that is okay. The Taz says like this, number 19, sorry, Disiv al tera yayin ki itadam, the hikpid ator, the dalet kosas bezeh, the loy bekiddush. The Torah was more particular when it came to arba kosas to have red wine rather than to have white wine. The yesh oy remez l'adam, there's another red wine, remez, there's another hint of red wine here, zecha l'adam, that is a remembrance of the blood. There's a whole blood connection there on Seder night. Shehaya paro shochet b'nei Yisrael. The paro was slaughtering the Jewish people. Therefore, the red wine is a zecha l'adam. And then the Taz something says something very interesting. The Ha'idna, in his day, in the 17th century, Nimnu'u milikach yayin adam. We actually avoid red wine, mitnei alilud shkarim, because of the blood libels. We have blood libels. There was a resurgence in Poland in the 17th century of the blood libels. And sadly, blood libels were a reality for much of the Crusades. They resurfaced in 17th century Poland at the time of the Taz. Indeed, two of his own children were murdered in a pogrom. There was, of course, blood libel, an infamous blood libel in Damascus in 1840. Even at Yom HaZeh, I remember when Israel sent its teams of special responders to Haiti for the earthquake in Haiti. There was one of the politicians in England accused the Israelis of killing the Haitians in order to harvest their organs. Even in 2010, a blood libel was something that could make its way into the British political system. And therefore, a blood libel used to be real. Baruch Hashem, not so much a Seder now for us. And therefore, we really go back into the red wine rather than white wine. And of course, the symbolism of red wine is there, and I brought you on the sheet, the Brit Milah, the Korban Pesach, we talked about that last week, the plague of the dam, the blood of the Egyptians, don't forget, which we dip for the 10 plagues, the blood on the doorposts of the home. All of these are remazim, that the wine is a symbol, if you like, of the blood. Now, if you're interested, of course, in Christian symbolism, there is an enormous amount to say here about the Eucharist, and the idea of the blood, and the wine, and the bread, etc., etc. If you're interested in Christian theology, specifically Catholic theology, you can look into that. I brought you, by the way, a source, for those of you who are interested in this kind of thing, as to whether the Last Supper was actually a Pesach Seder. It's not straightforward at all. It may be completely unconnected, but I'll leave you to look at that if you're interested in that kind of issue yourself. The question of red wine, of course, on Seder night is, what if you don't have any red wine? Can you make it red? So the answer is, of course you can. You can just put a bit of white wine and red wine together. But then you have an interesting shaila la halacha on Shabbos or Yom Tov of Tzoveya. Are you allowed to color wine or food on Yom Tov or Shabbos? So the answer is, really, we pass an ein tzvi'a ba'oichlin. There is no prohibition of coloring when it comes to food. You make a cup of coffee on Shabbos. You can put coffee in the water, even though the water goes black. Why? Because you're not trying to color it. You're just making coffee. It just goes that color automatically. However, this might be a bit different, because here, your dafka, let's say you have a glass of white wine, you're adding in a few red drops of wine in order to make the wine red? That's not so very straightforward, because there you're doing it specifically to color. The Mishnah Brura ultimately says, number 20, it's okay, you can do that, but it's definitely preferable to put the white wine in, the red wine in first, a little bit of red wine, and then add the white wine on top of that if you want to make your wine red for that. Okay, fine. So no question, red wine on Seder night is definitely preferable. What about grape juice on Seder night? We said grape juice for Kiddush. Okay, there's a shiloh, there's a debate. What about Seder night? Now, I said to you before, there was no such thing as grape juice on Seder night. Until the present century, there was no ability to retain grape juice until Seder night, and therefore that wasn't even an option. However, there is an idea that the wine on Seder night should contain a little bit of alcohol. Have a look with me, number 21. Says the Gemara in Pesachim, Arba Kaisas Halalu, these four cups of wine, Shasan Chai, what if you drank them neat? Back in the day, they used to dilute the wine, not because it was so strong, this is a little bit of a misunderstanding, but because it was so sweet. What happens is wine, when you ferment wine, wine starts off with a lot of sugar content, and as the fermentation process goes along, so what happens is the sugar gradually turns to alcohol, and the longer you ferment it, the more alcoholic your wine is. So back in the day, they didn't have the ability to cool the wine down, and the fermentation process often stopped early, so it was very low alcohol, but very, very sweet. Very, very sweet. And therefore, the Gemara asks, what if you drank the wine neat, this very sweet wine? So he says, Yatsa, you did the mitzvah. You actually did the mitzvah of drinking the wine, even if you drank it neat. Let's look back in on the sheet again, 1 second. That you actually did do the mitzvah of drinking the wine, okay, where I'm number 21, Shasan Chai Yatsa, Amarava Yidei Yayin Yatsa. You drank wine, yes, you drank wine. Yidei cheiros lo yatsa. But that kind of wine is not cheiros. That's not what free people, that's not what rich people drink. That's not what people drink if they had a choice. And therefore the Rashbam brings in, he says, that the kalayma, the ein zo mitzvah shalema, if you drink wine which is not really choshev on Seder night, ein mitzvah shalema she'ein chashivash ela b'yayin mozek. You have to drink a wine which is a choshev wine. And the question is whether grape juice is, in this sense, has a chashivas to it. Back in the old days, as I said, you know, diluting wine was necessary. To drink the wine in its neat format was something which was not done. By the way, I'll give you a proof that the wine that they used to have back in the day was much less strong than it is now, much sweeter and less strong. The Rambam paskens for Avelis. He said it's good for Avelim to drink wine. So the Rambam says it's good for Avelim to drink wine. How many cups of wine should an Avel drink? So he says it's good for the Avel to drink wine, but they shouldn't drink more than 10 cups of wine in any particular setting. Okay? 3 cups before the meal, 3 cups during the meal, and 4 cups after the meal. I think if we drank that much wine during a Shiva these days, you'd basically sleep through the whole Shiva. But so you can see the wine was clearly much less strong back in those days, even though it was much sweeter. So where does this leave us with grape juice? So have a look with me. There were many poskim that objected to grape juice. Rav Moshe Feinstein said, okay, if you need it for health reasons, you can drink grape juice on Seder night. But he argued it was not choshev. And one of his arguments is the following Yerushalmi. Look at number 23. Rabbi Yoni Shasi Arba Sekosi Delai Lepitcha. Rabbi Yoni used to drink the 4 cups of wine on Seder night. The Chazak Reishi Adat Sarta. And his head was hurt. He got headache from the wine until Aseret. But Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda be Rabbi Eloi, Shati Arba Kasi de Pischa, he drank the 4 cups on Seder night. The Chazak Reishi Ad Chaga, his head used to hurt till Sukkot. So Rav Moshe Feinstein asks, so why didn't they just drink grape juice? Why didn't they just drink something else? Clearly, they had an obligation to drink wine. By the way, Rav Soloveitchik objects. Rav Soloveitchik says, I'll tell you why they didn't drink grape juice. They didn't have any grape juice. That's not a question. Okay, but they could have actually drunk raisin wine, maybe. But Rav Moshe says it's clear from here that the wine has to have some alcoholic content to the extent that these people drank wine, you know, that made their head hurt all the way till Shavuos. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but they have to make the effort. I also read once in the Netziv. The Netziv has a beautiful line. He says that on Seder night, you have a mitzvah to view yourself as if you had left Mitzrayim, as if you'd left Egypt on some level. So the question is, how do you get rid of the inhibitions a little bit to feel like you'd actually left Egypt? And he says, you can't do that with grape juice. You've got to have a little bit of alcohol in the wine. The Star K actually recommends it should be 4% alcoholic, the wine. It doesn't have to be very strong, but it has to be a little bit of alcohol so you can feel the mitzvah of Simchas Yontef. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank said also the mitzvah of Simchas Yontef was required, excuse me, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Arba Kosev. And quite frankly, you don't feel Simchas Yontef from grape juice. And there's an interesting proof for that. The Gemara discusses what you can drink on Erev Pesach. Erev Tisha B'Av, excuse me. There's a link between Tisha B'Av and Pesach. What can you drink on Erev Tisha B'Av? So on Erev Tisha B'Av, you can't drink wine. So the Gemara says you can't drink wine, but you can drink grape juice. And you see from here, say, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, and others, that actually grape juice just doesn't do it. It doesn't bring simcha. And therefore they were. And I brought you a list here, a number of poskim that specifically said, even though they might use grape juice for Kiddush, you can't use grape juice for Seder night. They included Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Stipler. These were all people who said that really you should have wine and not grape juice. However, there is a whole raft of poskim that say no, grape juice is permitted. Rav Soloveitchik specifically permitted grape juice to Brisker Rav, the Chazan Ish, Rav Shlomo Zalman said grape juice is okay with a little bit of wine maybe mixed in. And the reason they say that is from this Rambam. Look in number 29 with me, please, at the Rambam. Says the Rambam, Arba Kaisas Ha'elu, these 4 cups, Tzarech Limzogotam, okay, you have to dilute them. You have to put the water in, not drink them neat. Kidei Shitiyeh Shtia Areva, so that the drinking is pleasant. And this is a very important line. Hakol Lefi Hayayin or Lefi Das HaShoita. It all depends, says the Rambam, on the wine and on your personal preference. meaning you shouldn't be doing something on Stay the Night, which will segue us into the last question that I want to raise. You shouldn't be drinking something on Stay the Night that upsets you, that you feel is unpleasant. And therefore, based on this Rambam, there are many poskim that said that grape juice is 100% fine now that we have grape juice, and you can drink it on Seder night. Okay, let's summarize where we are up to here. It's a bit technical, but let's summarize where we are, because hopefully we've reached some halakhic conclusions. As follows. For Kiddush, the ideal wine is red, the ideal wine is dry, okay, but most of the other variations are basically fine for Kiddush. For Arba Kaisers, there's an extra ideal to have red wine, to the point that people might want to even color the wine to make it red if all they had was white wine. There were times when the blood libels prevented that, okay, but Baruch Hashem, these times no longer, that's no longer a concern. And therefore, there is a strong preference to have red wine for Kiddush, for Seder night, for the four cups, and there is a preference to have alcoholic wine, for all the reasons that we've talked about, unless, of course, drinking alcoholic wine is unpleasant to you, and then there are a number of poskim on whom to rely. It's far more important, by the way, to drink the right amount. I have this every Seder. I think every Seder I've ever been at, everyone's good with the first cup, everyone's okay with the second cup, but by the third cup they're saying, you know, just give me a little top up, I'll just have a sip. That doesn't work la halacha. A person has to drink a shir, and it's far more important to drink a shir, the right amount, than to drink wine that you don't like drinking. What is the shir for the Arba Kaisers? Very straightforward. Rav Moshe says 3 ounces, which is 86 cc's. You can remember 86 cc's is the gematria kais. Chaf Vav Samach is 86, which is not that big at all. So any cup that holds basically 3 ounces or 86 cc's of liquid is fine for Seder night. And actually, you should not have cups which are too big, since there is a minhag to drink the majority of the cup for each of the four cups. Then you're better off not having cups which are too big, otherwise you'll end up far too much wine to drink. So much better to have grape juice, if that enables you to drink the cup, but I would advise you to put a little bit of wine into it, just so you can, I don't know, feel the Simchas Yontov, unless of course, and we'll come to this now, the wine is not safe. What about people who say they can't do the mitzvah of drinking wine because it's not good for them, it's not healthy for them? What does the halacha have to say, and I want to just finish with this discussion, about eating things which are not good for you? How far do you have to go to do a mitzvah if it makes you feel ill? So we talked a lot about this when we talked about celiac, because that's obviously a very big shaila. The matzah is a mitzvah min haTorah on Seder night, and celiacs obviously have a very serious problem eating wheat matzahs. Some of them can have oat matzah, some of them cannot eat oat matzah, and I would advise you to look at the shir. We had a whole shir on it. Bottom line, if a person is a celiac, and eating the matzah is going to cause them significant health damage, which it well could, then they're not allowed to eat it. But what about when it comes to the wine? What it comes to your wine and grape juice, etc. So the difference, of course, here is that whilst matzah is a Torah mitzvah, wine is a rabbinic mitzvah. And this really raises the question, a broader question, how far do you need to go to do rabbinic mitzvahs if that is going to make you feel ill in some sense? Or break rabbinic mitzvahs, break rabbinic halacha. You're not allowed to drink before Kiddush on a normal Shabbos. What if you don't feel well? At what point are you allowed to say, well, that mitzvah doesn't apply to me, I don't feel well? You're not allowed to drink, or you shouldn't drink or eat before davening in the morning in an ideal world. At what point are you allowed to say, well, okay, but I don't feel well, that mitzvah doesn't apply to me, that halacha doesn't apply to me? So let's have a look at the last page. If you have the sheet in physical form, it's on the last page. I'm going to share it with you now as well. Let's have a look at this together. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch raises an interesting question. What if somebody needs medication which is treif? What if they need medication which is treif? Are you allowed to eat medicine or take medicine from a non-kosher source? Let's have a look at number 30. Says the Ramot, Yesh Omrim, Dechol isurei hana'a midrabanan. Anything which is rabbinically prohibited, mutar lehitrapot bahem. You're allowed to use for medical purposes. Meaning, a Torah prohibition, if you have to eat pork or something, you're not allowed to use unless there is a sakanat nefashot. You're not allowed to use unless a person is in a life-threatening position. But a rabbinic prohibition, a rabbinic mitzvah, you can break in order to take medication. Afilu chole she'ein bo sakana. Even a chole who is not in danger. The whole chole she'machil in law itza, but before you break the mitzvah, before you break the rabbinic mitzvah, tzrichin she'teheya refua yidua. It has to be a well-known medication. It can't be just guesswork, or al pi mumcha, or it has to be a doctor that says you need it. You can't just do it just because you feel like it. But if a doctor says you need to take the rabbinically prohibited medication, then there's no problem at all. By the way, this is true on Pesach, taking medication on Pesach, and whether it contains, if it contains chometz or kidney, etc. That is a whole interesting shaila. Most medication, certainly in tablet form, even if it contains chometz, which it probably doesn't, even if it contains chometz, the chometz is inedible, and therefore since it's inedible, certainly inedible even by a dog, then you wouldn't relate to it in any way as animal food, then it's no problem of chometz at all. The reality is that most of the medication that contains whatever it contains is kidney yod. And clearly there's no prohibition taking kidney yod in medication form on Pesach. So it says the Ramah, you're allowed to take something which is prohibited on a Rabbana level. Of course, if you have an alternative, you have to take the alternative. So the question is, at what point, how much discomfort does the person have to be in order not to fulfill the mitzvah of the four cups? Given that it's a rabbinic mitzvah, so that you'll say, okay, fine. So if I feel ill from drinking the four cups, I'm a chole she'ein bo sakana, so then I don't have to do it. It's a rabbinic mitzvah. The makam choling lo gazu rabbanon. There's a principle in halacha that the rabbis did not institute their mitzvahs in a situation where people are going to get sick. So have a look at the halacha. Look in number 31. So says the Gemara, Amar Ahi Matronisa, the Rebbe Yehuda. This woman, a Roman dignitary, said to Rabbi Yehuda, Mayri Varevi, are you drunk? You look drunk. You look so happy, I think that you're passing a lot when you're drunk. And that's not allowed. So Amalah, he said to her, I swear I didn't drink a drop. All I ever drink is Kiddush, the Avdalta, and Havdalah, the Arba Kossi, the Pischa, and the four Kossis on Seder night. The Chagrani Tzidi Min Pesach Ad Atzeres, because we saw this in the Yerushalmi. And my head hurts from Pesach to Atzeres. So, and I promise you, I'm not drinking wine now, he says. So the question is, well, why does he drink it if his head hurts? If you're going to have a migraine from Pesach all the way through to Atzeres, to Shavuos, why would you even need to drink it at all? So based on this, the Shulchan Aruch rules in number 32, Misha Eino Shoyte Yayin Lifnei Shem Azika. Someone who doesn't normally drink wine, because it hurts them, or Sinai, or they seriously dislike it. Sarech litchoit atzmoi lishtoi zekayim mitzvahs arbakosis. They have to push themselves on Seder night. It's interesting, it's Shulchan Aruch. Even if you don't normally like drinking wine, even if it's mazik on some level, you have to push yourself to drink the wine on Seder night. Why? So, the Aruch HaShulchan, there's a machlokes in the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishnah Berurah. The Aruch HaShulchan says, because it doesn't actually make you ill, Nisha Eino Shoyse Yayin, look at number 33, Mitnesha Soina. Someone who doesn't drink wine because they usually dislike it, or Mazika, or because they find it damages them. You have to push yourself to drink, grape juice is okay, we said, but you have to push yourself to drink wine or grape juice on Seder night. Levad Kishihu Chole. Of course, except unless it makes you ill. If it makes you ill, then obviously you don't, because the normal rules apply. Well, how ill is ill? So look at what the Mishnah Berurah says in number 34. Even if it just makes you unhappy to drink it, you have to drink it. You get a headache. If you're actually going to feel like you have to go to bed, that you feel actually ill, then obviously you don't have to drink it. But why? Not because you're a chole, says the Mishnah Berurah, because that is not the drinking of free people to drink a wine that makes you feel ill. It's fascinating. The Mishnah Berurah seems to say that the reason that you don't have to drink wine if you're going to get even sick is not because of the normal mitzvah that sick people don't have to do rabbinic mitzvahs. It's because drinking wine that makes you sick is not derech cheres. So you see from here, very interestingly, that actually the drinking of the wine on is incredibly important as a mitzvah. It's not a Torah mitzvah, it's a rabbinic mitzvah, but it has so much symbolism and so much relevance and a connection, as we said right at the beginning, all the way through with the wine that they poured, the yain that they poured on the Mizbeach. that want to really make, you know, make a big effort to try and have the four kosers, make sure that they drink, you know, drink the right amount, the right kind of wine. Some people like drinking wine. We saw last week that there are people that even want to drink a fifth cup of wine. If you're one of those people, then Gesundheit. I wish you good health to drink wine and be happy. But if you're one of those people that finds drinking wine late at night a little bit difficult, so first of all, you don't have to have your Seder going all the way through the night. It's not a competition for who has the latest Seder. But second of all, you can drink grape juice, all sorts of other things, and in Yetz Hashem, you should be healthy and well when you drink it. So this is a little bit of analysis on the whole issue of wine, the kinds of wine, the colors of wine, alcohol, non-alcohol, etc., which impacts on Kiddush, on men and women, and Seder night. As I said, what I want to do next week is I want to take it forward into Charoset, which of course has wine in it. Charoset has a lot of Hashkafic symbolism, which I want to talk about then as well. But hopefully that was enlightening on some sense on the wine angle. In Yetz Hashem, the Torah learning that we've done today should be a schus for all of those people who are sick, for all of those people who need a schus and a merit, and are learning, hopefully, I hope you heard me for most of the time, and hopefully it came through and it was clear. If it cut in and out, I apologize, but certainly we wish refuah shalema, b'chol chol Yisrael, for all of those people who are not well. And by the way, if there's anybody who you know who would like to get hold of the shiurim, they're all recorded, all the OU shim are recorded, we can get those to them. If there are people in hospital even that want to get them on their phone, we can send them through WhatsApp. There's no shortage of ways to communicate with each other in this day and age. So thank you all very much for tuning in. It's great to see you. Thank you for the thumbs ups every now and then. And you don't have to give me a thumbs up, it's fine. I'll unmute you so that I can actually hear you as well. I really appreciate you being here. It's wonderful, wonderful to see you. Now you're all on the mic with each other. So I wish everybody should all be well, and you should stay well, and you should have a good week, and please God, we should meet next week and continue with our discussion on Charoset.
Amen.